Welcome to Series 10, Episode 5 with Clayton Donaldson. Clayton's two spells at York City were at opposite points of his career, yet both left lasting impressions and memories for York City supporters. Here, Clayton talks at length about his second spell, giving great insight into how last season went from looking like a disaster to ending up with promotion, as well as reflecting on his all-time York City 11. These podcasts are recorded on behalf of York Hospital Radio, a local charity who provide a service for patients in York Hospital. If you enjoy these podcasts, then please consider donating to the charity via our Just Giving page, which is justgiving.com/York Hospital Radio. That's justgiving.com/York Hospital Radio. But for now, please enjoy the thoughts of York City legend, Clayton Donaldson.
Okay, so great to speak to you again, Clayton. Last time we talked on the podcast, it was at height of COVID with sort of games being played behind closed doors and you were at Bradford City. And never did I sort of think that, you know, a couple of years later, you'd be coming back to York City. So how did that sort of move come about for you? And did it take much persuasion for you to come back? And, you know, was it a chance to you to sort of give back to the club that kind of almost you made your name at?
Yeah, it kind of just came out of the blue, to be honest. The retain list got put up by Bradford and obviously the release list as well. So I alerted quite a few players and managers. And then I just got a call randomly from Steve Watson saying, oh, yeah, I'm York City manager. We'd love to have you here back at York City. Would you be interested? And to be honest, it never crossed my mind because I actually thought I'd be still at Bradford. So I didn't really prepare my mind to think elsewhere. So it was a bit of a shock. But then once I got that call, it was like, you know what, it's a no-brainer.
Did you have any sort of hesitation about sort of moving down the leagues, as it were? I know you'd played in non-league with York City before, but I wondered whether it was the fact it was York City that made you drop down back into the non-league.
Yeah, like I said, I had a few offers in the league, in League Two at the time, and National League. So, you know, for me to drop down to Conference North, it would have only been for York City, and that would have been it. So, you know, as soon as I got that call, I just thought, you know, this unfinished business here, it'd be good for me to go back and try and get them promoted.
How did Steve sell it to you? Did he want you to be sort of a bit of a leader? Did he sort of say to you, you know, you'd be playing most games? How did he sell it to you?
Yeah, just said, look, I know you're interested in doing your coaching and stuff, and he kind of sold it to me that way, really. I was able to take a few sessions myself, and I was doing my badges as well. I think I was doing my B license at the time, just about to finish it. And he said, look, you know, I know you wanted to get into management as well. You know, I mentored Mike Williamson, who's at Gateshead now, doing really well. So he said, you know, he's managing there, so it'd be a good stepping stone for you. So kind of sold it to me that way, really, because he knows I want to get into management and coaching and stuff. So and he just said, I want you to use your experience and help us get out of this league. The main two selling points, to be honest.
And initially, you were sort of playing as this Don trialist, which sort of was a bit bizarre, really, because, you know, normally in pre-season, you have these trialists that no one knows who they are, and it's all a bit of a mystery. But obviously, Clearly, everyone knew who you were. All the York City fans knew who you were. Was that a bit weird? Because Bradford City sort of kicked off about it, didn't they? But like you said, they'd already put you on the release list. And did that feel a bit bizarre to you, that you were having to sort of like be in the middle of this argument?
It was a really bizarre situation, a situation I've never been in before. So obviously I got released by Bradford, but Bradford was still paying my wages, which always happens, especially in league clubs. If you get released by a club, they have to pay an extra wage on top. So you're still kind of registered to them. I'm sure they've known this from years of being in football. So it was my surprise that the way they dealt with it and kicked off about it was very surprising, even though, you know, I was one of the players that they released. So I just think it was a little bit of a sour bit for somebody. I don't know why. I don't know what the relationship was between York and Bradford at the time, but it just seemed that it was a little bit toxic. And having to have my name down as Don Charles, it was very bizarre and one that I've not had experience before in my life. So, no, I spoke to Bradford City about the situation because it started to get a bit silly now. I think Dave Penny and trying to deal with the situation, but I think he was just making the situation a lot worse, to be honest. So, and then it kind of all fell on me. I had to give the phone call to Bradford and correspond between York and Bradford that way and kind of settle the air a little bit.
And you mentioned there that, you know, the ambition was to win promotion, get York City out of the National League North, which they'd struggled to do for the previous four seasons. after three games, I think there was three straight defeats. What were you thinking? Were you sort of, what have I signed up for here?
Not really, no, because we had a really good pre-season, didn't we? I think we unbeaten, beat Newcastle or Sunderland, I can't remember.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, we played Notts County maybe in the National League, I can't remember, but we was unbeaten in pre-season. I say we beat Premier League teams and teams that are above us. You're looking around thinking, wow, we've got a chance here. And then you go into the first game. I think I missed the first game. I had Achilles problem due to the hard ground pre-season. I think a couple of us missed the first game. You're like, you think, okay, that's the first game, get out of the way. Then you lose the second game and then the third game. And you're thinking, oh my days, what's going on here? After a good pre-season, how can this happen? And then you went up to Spennymoor, really needing a win, really, to try and, I don't know, to keep the manager in his job as well. I don't think, obviously he was on a lot of pressure then as well. So yeah, it was to be fair, I've been in that situation when I was at Birmingham. We was the same. We had a pre-season where we won all our games, beat Premier League teams, and then we lost first four games. So it wasn't a situation I haven't been in before. I just know you don't win the league in your first three games. You know, there's so many games to play, so many points to play for. But obviously people around me were getting a bit of a tense situation and trying to calm them down, saying it's first three games, it's fine. One win and we'll be back out of it. And then went away to Spennymoor and got the result, and then everything kind of got forgotten after that. But yeah, it was very tense really in the building at York City after the first three games. Yeah.
I think that goal at Spennymoor, I think that was your first York City goal for 14 years. How did it feel? And had the non-league changed in the time that you'd been away? Did you notice any sort of differences since you'd last played for York City?
Yeah, I felt like it was a lot stronger. You've seen a lot of players filter down the leagues over the years. We're finding it hard to get into clubs and interleague clubs in the leagues over the years. So most of the decent players that tend to filter down, you know, don't get the opportunity to play in the league. So I felt it was a lot stronger this time around, especially after the first three games it's shown as well. So that was a bit of a surprise. And it was good because it made the league a lot more competitive, to be honest.
Yeah. And one of your best games, I think, in that second spell at York City was also in the North East at Darlington. You scored both goals in a 2-1 win. And it was in September time. And you had chances to get a hat-trick as well. The second goal was your Panenka penalty, which not the last one of the season. But, I mean, it takes so much confidence. And was that something that you'd done before or something that you'd been practising in training or anything? What made you decide to sort of go with that?
Yeah, I've done it a few times. I did it a few times at Bradford. I did it Panenka at Bradford a couple of times. And I've done it before in the past. So it was always something that I had the back of my mind that I would tend to do. Not many keepers like to stay on the line and stay in the middle. They always tend to dive early to give themselves a better chance. So it's a bit of a cat and mouse situation, really. But I just knew that was my first pen for York. And I thought, you know, give it a go. I think the keeper hasn't really seen me or done anything on me. So to see, to prove that I'd be able to stand still and pick it up. But lucky enough, he dived. And it's a bit of a cat and mouse situation, really. But more than 9 times out of 10, the keeper has to dive early to stand up. A great chance of saving it. So it's kind of in your court, to be honest, and for you to mess it up and miss.
And I think one of the iconic images of the sort of season was your goal celebration there in the purple shirt and your thing with your hands. Where did that sort of come from, the celebration? Was that something you've been doing for years, or was that something that just came up at York City?
It just came up at York City. You know, we got invited down to the ground to do some shots with the shirts and stuff, and I think it was Dan at the time said, oh, there's some guys are here to do some gifts, goal celebration and stuff, so think of something you want to do. And it was like on the spot kind of thing. So I think I was about the 10th person to go waiting in line, and you know, all these other players are doing all their own stuff, and I'm thinking, what can I do here? And then someone mentioned wrestling, and it kind of, my ears picked up, and I was like, actually, Ultimate Warrior, he was one of my great heroes. I used to love wrestling as a kid, and Ultimate Warrior was my all-time heroes, and I used to do all his celebrations and his finishing, and obviously the hand that goes up like that, it's a little like a mimicking his face paint. So I used to do that all around the house. I was like, great stuff, that's what I'm going to do. And then kind of kicked off from there, to be honest.
Do you regret not doing it earlier on in your career? You could have had your whole career doing that celebration.
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I think I did, to be honest. I think if I'd started off throughout my career, it probably had something I would have lived with me for memory. Kids probably would have maybe copied it or done it in their own celebration. I know some of the York little kids and fans were doing it in the stands. So maybe if I did tried to do it in the early years, it might have kicked off bigger. You just never know. So, yeah.
I mean, while she continued to score goals, the team was sort of inconsistent, weren't they? And that led to Steve Watson leaving. I wonder what was your relationship like with Steve?
I had a good relationship with Steve. We had a sticky period. We was trying to play football in the right way. I think too much at times. I think there was times where we had to try and switch up, but You know, Steve Watson, he always wanted to try and play football the right way and get the ball down. And I think once team saw that's how he wanted to play, they kind of disrupted that and we didn't really have a plan B. So they saw that in a few of the games that we didn't get the results. So, and then when he left, it was, what was the game before?
I think we drew at Curzon, didn't we? 0-0. He left after that, but I think we'd lost at Leamington 2-0 in the week.
It was at Leamington. And I think things starting to ring around the change rooms about his job position, and he was under threat, to be honest. And I think that was the first game Askew was in the stand. So obviously things get around and you think, well, it could be close. So if we don't get a result against Curzon, that could be it. It was a 0-0 and kind of stopped the rot a little bit, in a sense. And we kind of thought, well, okay, we can try to get a result next week now. And then after the game, I don't know how many hours or so it was after the game, we got told that that was it. He was done. Because Askew came in, was it the Leamington game or the game before that? Training. And Steve was like, you know, I've got Askew in. One of my old managers, I don't know if he's managed with him before in the past, he's come to help me out. And then you look back, you think, actually, was that the case? Or was that the club lining him up for the next position for him? So all things go around in your head thinking, was that the actual case? If John Askew coming in to help him or just to take over him, to be honest. So, and then obviously that happened.
And how is it for you as a sort of older player now? Because I imagine, you know, you've seen managers come and go all the time throughout your career. And I would imagine when a manager does go, there's kind of an intensity in training that probably wasn't there before because everyone's trying to impress the manager. But you've been there and done it. Did you still have that sort of burning ambition at 37 to impress the new manager?
Yeah, I felt like, because I never really came across Askew. I think I played against him when I was at Bradford. He was at maybe Port Vale at the time. And you know, I played against him a few times, but I never really got to know Askew. So I didn't really know him too well. So when he came in, it was kind of a situation with that, like, oh, a manager that I haven't really come across, don't really know too well. So I don't know if he knows me too well. So I think everyone was kind of same boat and just wanted to try and impress. You know, he's a new manager, he's going to be one picking the team, so you want to be trying to get on his good side, and that was no different for me. The way it all happened, because he came in the week before training with us with Steve Watson, because of the other situation with the other assistant that got suspended, he was in a sticky situation with that. So I think Watson had to bring someone else in, and I don't know if that was the final straw with Cummins going. I don't know if he brought Cummins in with him, so I don't know if he kind of died. Both of them died on the same sword, kind of thing. So it was an unreal situation, really. One that was kind of rocked the boat with City, to be honest, and the players.
The results didn't immediately sort of improve. I mean, they remained indifferent, and you played in probably one of the lowest points, the 3-0 home defeat to Bradford Park Avenue. And I wondered what the dressing room was like after a game like that. And for you as well, just it being Bradford, you know, you were playing for Bradford City the season before, and this is little Bradford Park Avenue down the road, and they're beating York City 3-0 at the LNER. I mean, I know some players might say, oh yeah, I still thought we'd get promotion, but I don't think any of the fans did after that performance. What was the dressing room like after that game?
Yeah, the dressing room was really low after that game, really low. I think Bradford was a team struggling at the time towards the bottom half of the table. And like I say, it's my local team as well. I'm one of my local teams come from Bradford. So it was a game that I was looking forward to. And I think it was a game that we all thought we could win. And I think it's definitely a winnable game. And then, you know, after getting in, losing 3-0, it was, you looking around thinking, oh my God, is this it? Is this where we're at now? Are we good enough to climb out of this league? Are we good enough to get into the top half of the table? Because I think it was at the bottom half of the table at the time, I think. Yeah. So are we looking behind us rather than in front? So it's, yeah, the dressing room was really low at that point, really low. And I think Askew was more or less saying, we need to bring players in, because what I'm seeing out there is just not good enough and we need help. So the sooner we can get players in, the better. So, and then again, everyone's looking around thinking, oh, he's going to bring players in, are they going to be replacing me? But at the time, we weren't good enough. Performance and the results were showing that, and we needed something, but the sooner rather than later.
What are you like in that situation? Are you, you know, because like I mentioned a few times, sorry for bringing up your age, but you know, you're an older pro, aren't you? And are you someone that's sort of putting your arm around other players? Are you having a go at players? And like you said, you were looking at getting into the coaching sort of game longer term. What was that like for you after a 3-0 home defeat?
Yeah, I was down. I was looking around and thinking, is this it? We're struggling against Bath Park Avenue at home. We just lost 3-0. You know, the fans are not happy. Players are not happy. Everyone's not happy. So it was just a really down atmosphere, and it's one I've been involved in football a long time, so you know, I've been in these kind of situations before, but you're still thinking, is this it? We're not good enough, could get relegated here. We need to look up our ideas and try and roll our sleeves up and get a result somehow. So yeah, it was just a very tense and down moment for the whole everyone connected to York City, and we're just looking around thinking, when can we get a win under our belt just to stop this momentum.
And to be fair, the next game wasn't a win, but it was a draw at home to Gateshead, who were obviously flying high in the league. I think they ended up winning the league and coming about 28 points clear of York City. I mean, it was a really windy day, wasn't it? You got the equaliser, and it almost felt like that, looking back, was a bit of a turning point, just to kind of not lose that game. From having lost at home to Bradford Park Avenue, it was almost expected that Gateshead would roll us over. And the team sort of seemed a bit sort of galvanised that day and sort of dug in and got a good point. What's your memory of that particular game?
Yeah, I just remember thinking, we've got Gateshead next. Lost 3-0 against Bradford. Gateshead are flying in the league at home as well. You're thinking, come on, we need to get a result here. Can't be losing badly again. So we need to try and find some sort of result somehow. Boys have to dig deep, which they did. We played very well. I think we played very well, and you know, I got the equaliser later on in the second half. You know, when we got the equaliser and we drew 1-1 with a team like Gateshead, it felt like a win, and players felt rejuvenated. This is we can start the season from now, or we can build up from this, and I think that kind of spurred us on going forward. Definitely felt, you know, getting back in the changing rooms, everyone was high again, buzzing again, because initially you're thinking, we can't get a result here because we played them at their place earlier on in the season, and you know, the passes off the park, it was a difficult situation, difficult game, and you think it's going to be the same, but you know, to come back and get the draw at the time what it was, definitely felt like a win that definitely spurred us on for the rest of the season.
In that particular game, was it better to be playing at home, or would you have preferred to have been playing away? Because the atmosphere at the time was pretty toxic, wasn't it? And fans were getting... I think because the pre-season was so good, it almost like everyone expected us to win the league. And then when it wasn't happening, and at that point, we were probably about 15th in the table. After that Bradford game, are you sort of thinking, oh, I wish we were away from home? Or would you rather be in front of your own fans?
No, definitely in front of our own fans. Definitely. I think, you know, if you can get a performance under your belt, they can act as an extra man. So you definitely want to be playing at home. You could say it's the atmosphere at York when things are going well. All you just need is that one little bit of luck, and that equalising goal was that. And you can see straight away from the fans' reaction, you know, how happy it was, and the atmosphere changed automatically. So that's what we needed. We needed that. So, you know, fortune favours the brave, and we knew it was going to be a home game, but it was going to be a tough game, but we had to roll up our sleeves and we never die attitude and say, look, we're in this together and we're going to try and achieve something. So it's a never die attitude that I always have for myself. Don't define your season in so many games. You define your season when the season's over. So that's when you look back at it. So we still had a lot of lives in us, and we knew we had to get a result that game. Otherwise, it would have been, difficult situation for everyone. So, and the fact that the way we dug deep and got the result, I think, like I say, that spurred us on, really. It felt like a win.
Yeah, and it did spur the team on, didn't it? And the team went on a good run, not just in the league, but in the FA Trophy. And I think if you were to ask most York City fans to sum up the memories of your second spell, it would immediately go back to sort of Dagenham in the FA Trophy quarter-final, where in the last minute you convert a penalty with the last kick of a game, another Panenka. I mean, there's one thing having the confidence to do it at Darlington when the team are 1-0 up, but to do it in the last minute takes some bottle, doesn't it? I mean, again, did you sort of decide that in the moment? Do you decide that before the game, or you know, if we get a penalty, I'm going to do a Panenka, or was it? I can't get my head around how you would have the bottle to do that in the last minute. Because if you get it wrong, you look completely stupid, don't you? And kind of almost like, oh well, that was a golden chance, but to kind of do it and pull it off must be a great feeling.
Yeah, when you start and he names the team sheet and the penalty taker, so you get told who's in the team and who's going to take the penalties. And as soon as I knew I was in the team and you know I was going to be the penalty taker, straight away I said, yeah, if I get a penalty. I didn't tell him, it's just in my own head I was thinking, yeah, if I'm going to get a penalty, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a little Panenka, regardless of what situation it is, when it is, even if we 3-0 up or 4-0 up or 4-0 down, that's what I was going to do. So, and then it happens to be last kick of the game, really, and we were losing 1-0. So obviously the pressure's a bit on. And I just remember walking up thinking, they'll just try and hit you with power. And I was thinking, no, there's no point. Just go with what you're thinking. Yeah, fortune favours a brave kind of thing, attitude, really. And I always say, don't be scared to fail before you actually fail. So, you know, when I was obviously thinking, should I change it? I'm thinking to myself, well, I haven't failed yet, so why am I thinking about failing? Do what you're thinking of doing, and then deal with the situation after the keepers fell for it again and managed to dink it in and get us into penalty shootout. So it's always one thing with penalties is as soon as you change your mind, that's when it can go terribly wrong. Really.
Yeah, because you'd missed one early on in the season, hadn't you, against Hereford? But I think that was a game after the Darlington one where probably to do two Panenkas in a row probably wouldn't have been wise. So maybe, and I just sort of thought, because you'd already done a Panenka early on in the season, to do it again in a really big match was, you know, like I said, took some bottle really to do that. Yeah, like I said, you know, York were galvanised, they're getting to the trophy semi-finals and more importantly getting into the playoffs at the end of the season. You were sub for the quarterfinal against Chorley, but you played in the semi away to Brackley and then in the final against Boston. Having had that sort of disappointing end to your first spell where, you know, you were playing with broken ribs, weren't you, against Morecambe? And did this sort of feel like, for you, like almost a chance of redemption, a chance to sort of put things right, you know, right a few wrongs with York City?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely felt like a redemption situation going into the playoff. Looking at the playoffs games, you're thinking three tough games here, possibly. First game was Chorley, got a result there. And then you're looking and thinking, we've got a chance here. We've got a great chance here. And then Brackley away. I think we lost twice to them in the season, didn't we? So you're looking at it thinking, oh, it's going to be a tough day in the office. But I think away from home, it was a nice sunny day, I think, I believe. And then we played really well, created quite a few chances. And yeah, I just remember the first game that their players, I think it was a set piece that done us really, wasn't it? I think it was it 1-0? They didn't concede many goals, but they didn't really score that many. They always got 1-0 up and defended the league. So we knew defensively they were going to be very solid, but they didn't really create that much. So our game plan was to try and stay in the game. And if you could create anything, try and take it, because they don't give you that too many opportunities. And you know, when we got that first goal, we need to try and stay in the game and use their tactics, really, and be solid and have men behind the ball and try and catch them on the break. And I just remember the clock ticking down, and I think one of their players went off injured. I think they used all their subs and then went down to 10 men. And I was thinking, yeah, I think that was from that tap, from when their player went down injured and stayed off with 10 men. I was like, yeah, we've definitely got this one in the bag. Final, here we come. Here we go. And then got the result. So, yeah, like I said, and then I'm looking back to the first time I was here when we got knocked out by Morecambe, thinking this is an opportunity to put things right. And you know, say the way I left the first time round wasn't an ideal situation for me or York City, really. So I just thought it would be a good way to sign out with promotion winning season.
And against Boston, you were sort of playing on the right, weren't you? But I mean, you had a great game. I think one of the best games you had for York City, and you almost scored what I think might have gone down as your best ever goal with that sort of left foot curling shot that hit the bar. I mean, did you think it was in when it left your foot?
Yeah, as soon as I cut back on my left, as soon as I hit it, I just thought, yeah, this is in. I was waiting for the net to bulge, and then it hit the bar and came back out, and thinking, no, please, just don't let this be one of those situations again where we're a nearly team and a nearly goal. And being 1-0 at the time, thinking that could have made it 2-0, give us a little bit of cushion. You're just thinking in the back of your head, is it going to be that kind of day again? But no, I thought, from start to finish, we control the game. Where we're definitely the better team. We definitely looked more aggressive. Definitely like we wanted it. And I just felt like, yeah, we turned up and everything clicked on the day. And like I say, I really enjoyed the game. It was one of my best games. I agree with that as well. So it was a game that I enjoyed as well. It's even more sweeter.
I think it was, for me, it was because you were doing a lot of stuff like, you know, having to track back and sort of working hard for the team. And it, you know, from your first spell where you were, you know, raw pace and kind of people play you in over the top, and that was it. You'd be away, and you were out and out goal scorer as well for us back then. But to sort of see how your game sort of modified over the years, and obviously it's had to because you've got older. It was just great to see that sort of passion that you had, and clearly it meant a great deal to you to win promotion. You know, you've played for some big clubs and done some great things in football. Played for international football as well for Jamaica. Where did promotion for York City rank in your career?
Definitely up there. I think any promotion in any league is one of the high points in your career. You know, I've played at some decent grounds and some decent games, but, you know, winning promotion with any club is definitely up there. So my promotion with York City is up there with the best of them. So that's my fourth promotion I've won in my career now. I got back-to-back promotion when I was at Hull City, Sam Pro. Couple of appearances off the bench, and I think I made about 5 appearances each season there. So it didn't feel like I was involved, but I was involved, if you know what I mean. So to actually being in the chess dressing room, those players winning promotion and what it took, it kind of made me understand and realise, this is what you need to, if you are going to be a promotion winning team. And I felt that second half of the season with York City, I felt we had that. Definitely in the dressing room. And
there was real momentum, wasn't there, towards the end of that season?
Yeah, the momentum.
It felt like even though you mentioned there before, like losing twice to Brackley in the season, it still felt going there in the playoffs that because of the form that York City were in, that just momentum and form and confidence just makes such a difference in football. It's weird how football plays out sometimes.
Yeah, I've always said it doesn't really matter how you start, it's how you end it. And we definitely finished the strongest. And like I say, that gives you the momentum going into the playoffs. So, you know, when you're looking at results in the first half of the season, I always say to the players, it's still a long way to go. It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And I remember a manager, Peter Taylor, once pre-season, picked a team and I wasn't in the team. I had a really good pre-season for Hull City. And he always said to me, about a whole managing career, the team that starts the season is never the same. It's never the same team that ends the season. And it always stuck with me. So every time anything happens, first half of the season, it's always stuck with me that it's not always going to be the case to end the season. So it's not really what happens at the start of the season, what happens at the end and how you finish. And that was the same situation with York City.
And such is football, you know, you get that high, don't you, of winning promotion. And like I say, get great performance from yourself. The next day you're released. I mean, how were you told? And I'd imagine you would have been disappointed. I mean, you scored 14 goals and 9 assists, I think, over the season, which is a good return, I think. And you mentioned there about Hull City, you played a few games and stuff, but that's a real big contribution to a promotion winning side, isn't it? Were you disappointed to find out that you were getting released?
Yeah, very disappointed. I think I was 99% sure that I'd definitely get another year. Say 14 goals and 9 assists, I definitely played my part in that promotion winning season. So to get that call, it was a weird situation because no one really said anything to me. It was kind of, oh yeah, you'll get another year, it's fine, don't worry about it. The players, some of the staff, the members, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Once all this dies down, then you'll get that call. Or, you know, we had a meeting. We got invited to some event at some church in York. All the players with the chairman, McGill, at the time, and the past, I don't know if you heard about it, because it was a centenary year, the year after, so we're kind of celebrating that and the promotion, really. So, you know, met with all the players and the managers, and it's mainly the players that, not all the players went, but most of the players that was invited were the ones that were vital in that in promotion winning season. So getting invited, getting the call for that, I was thinking, that kind of seals it, really. If you look around, it's all the players that help York City get promoted. So you're thinking, these are the players that are going to be here next year. Manager was there, everything was fine. And then I managed to pull the manager towards one side and I was saying, oh, do you know what's happening next year yet? I haven't been told anything. And he just said, oh, I'll give you a call tomorrow. You know, I'm going to speak to a few of the players tomorrow. So I thought, okay, that's fine. So even still then, I'm thinking, everything's fine. I'm going to get another year. And then I get the call the next day and he was like, oh, I'm terribly sorry, but you know, I'm not going to offer you another year. I think what you've done for us, getting us promoted, is amazing. I just feel National League is probably a little bit a step too far for you at the moment. So, and then I was kind of blown back by it, to be honest. You know, I thought I did well under Askey and did well for him towards the end. And obviously played my big part in getting promotion. So to hear that call was disappointing, but it's not a call that I haven't had before. So you can never guarantee anything in football. You just got to take it on the chin and carry on, really. Yeah, so it was a upsetting situation, but one thing I said to him was, well, I'm disappointed, but at the same time, I can leave with my head held high, saying, you know, I achieved what I wanted to achieve first off and get promoted and get York City back into the league. So I've done my job. So yeah, I'll pat myself on the back.
Would you have accepted sort of like a lesser deal almost, you know, maybe paid less, but and maybe a more of a bit part player, you know, would that have kind of suited you? Or are you someone, I know obviously you've gone to Gainsborough and you're playing every week and scoring every week by all accounts as well. I think 19 goals already this season, but you are sort of towards, you know, close to the end of your career and you have a start. What would you have looked at that, or were you looking to sort of still play every week?
No, actually, initially, that was my thinking. You know, I thought the club was going to come with an offer, say, you know, reduced wages, et cetera, et cetera. And I would have happily taken it. And that's what I was expecting. I was expecting them to say, look, you're not getting any younger. We probably wanted, I did some coaching at the same time. You know, I took a few sessions there. So, you know, want to change your role a little bit, probably a bit more coaching rather than playing side. And I would have been, I mean, your wages were probably being slashed. And I would have happily taken it. And that's what I was expecting. So when I got that call, that's what initially was in my head, thinking, yeah, okay, you're going to get offered another year, but less wages, less playing time, but more helping the next generation, really. And when he said, oh, yeah, we're not offering you another year, that's it. It's over. I'm thinking it was a shock to the system. So when you're getting told by players and the staff and everyone there, yeah, you get another year, it's fine. Easily, no matter, you've done a good job. So I didn't really prepare myself that side of it, to be honest. So it kind of caught me off guard, which shouldn't really have done, because with my experience, I've been in a situation before, so I should have really had that in the back of my mind, but I just didn't. For some reason, I put all my eggs in one basket, so it was kind of a situation. It was like, okay, thank you for everything you've done, and et cetera, and gone. So I was like, wow. What do I do now, guys? Yeah.
And how quickly did Neil Bishop, obviously a former teammate of yours, get in touch to persuade you to go to Gainsborough?
Yeah, so the release list came on, got sent out on socials, and as soon as that went out, so many agents and managers was ringing me, asking what the situation was, and it was more of a case where I was like, I don't even actually know, but I still want to be playing football, but I actually thought I'd finished my career at York City. That was my initial thinking, so now I need to go back to the drawing board and see what I want to do now. I definitely want to carry on playing football. It's a matter of case of where. And, you know, I've got a few offers in the National League down south, and I was like, I'm past that stage now. I'm not really looking to travel and move all over the place. I just want to be settled, you know, where I am. So I just had to put everything, weigh everything up. And then I got a call from Bishop, and say Gainsborough's not so far, just over the bridge from me as well. So he gave me that, offered me that coaching opportunity, which I am doing at Gainsborough as well. So kind of ticked all the boxes, to be honest, and I was delighted with it. Haven't looked back since.
And it looks like you are really enjoying your football, and I saw a tweet the other week as well that was you sort of sweeping the dressing room at the end of an away game. And obviously, you know, such a great example to young players as well, sort of you mucking in. And I imagine a lot of people that have had your career playing at that level would not be doing that sort of stuff and almost thinking they were above it. What sort of motivates you to still sort of keep going?
I just love football. Absolutely love it. And there's one thing loving it and there's another thing enjoying it, to the point where it's like I'm not enjoying it anymore. That's when I'll be like, okay, enough's enough. But like I say, I'm still banging in the goals, so hence why I'm enjoying it still. So I still feel capable of giving something back to football. And still, like I say, I'm not getting younger, but at the same time, I still feel fit enough to compete. There's no point really stopping anytime soon until my body says enough's enough. Yeah, that's it. Your body's shutting down. Give it up. That's when I'll give it up. But until then, like I say, I'm still feeling fresh and enjoying it and still scoring goals. And like I say, we're flying in the league at the moment. So it's a great opportunity to get another promotion under my belt as well, that's what's more driving me on to and motivating me to keep on going.
And is it strange sort of playing for Neil Bishop, given that he was a former teammate of yours and you still line up together in the tunnel and now he's barking orders at you? What's that like?
It was strange at first, because I was thinking we played together and we were good teammates then at the time. And to be fair to you, we've always kept in touch. And this is always, every time I've left the club, he's always giving me that little text, what you thinking of doing next kind of thing. And to be fair, he's been like that for the last 5-6 years, to be honest. So it's always been in the back of my mind. And to play for him, it's nothing really changed with Bish. It's just that what you see is what you get. And it's the same in management as well. And it's great to work under, and it's so relaxing. You know, anything I need, phone call away, because we're good friends as well. So it makes life a lot easier for me.
And since we recorded the first podcast we did together, obviously, sadly, Billy McEwen has passed away since then. I just wondered, you know, as a little tribute, what was your sort of best memory of Billy? Because he kind of almost launched your career a bit, didn't he?
Billy was one of the guys that kind of praised highly, and definitely helped me in my career. I think, you go through life and careers and look back and think, who helped you along the way? And Billy McEwen definitely helped me along the way. It was just the way he was in and around the place and with the players, you know, the big character. He would always get involved, always smiling, no matter the result. So we always kept in. I always kept in touch. I even went to his funeral as well. I got invited to a funeral, so I always kept in touch with Billy. So I always try and keep in touch with the guys that definitely helped me along the way. And he was definitely one of them. You know, if he was doing a session in training and, you know, trying to get a player to cross a ball a certain way and it wasn't happening, he'd be like, you know, move on, give me the ball. This is how you do it. And then he'll pinpoint the ball straight on the money, really. So he was that type of guy, really. So everybody looking out, thinking, if he can do it, then and we can't do it. It's just something that's something up here. So it was always a guy not to shy away from certain things.
I mean, he came across a little bit scary at times. I used to think, sort of watching him on the touchline, you know, he was quite, I don't know how you describe him really, but not aggressive, but kind of, you know, knew what he wanted, didn't he? Yeah, he seemed quite angry at times. But what, you know, was he like that with you, or was that sort of just one side of him and there was another side of him sort of behind the scenes?
No, it was like that at all times, to be honest. He was very animated and high rate, and you can definitely tell he was there, always been. He was that type of guy who'd always leave something for you to remember him by. So, and that's one thing I liked. He was always on the front foot, always involved, always in your face, and never gave you a space or time to, you know, slack on. He was always there saying, no, Clayton, you need to get out of it. You need to change your mindset. Stop being this laid back. Come on. And trying to give a kick up my backside kind of thing all the time. And it was similar to, I would say, him and Yuri Rosler, Adam at Brentford, and he was exactly the same. And he was one of the managers that definitely helped me along the way as well. So that's just the way he managed and kept me on my toes. Certain players need that, and I definitely did need that. Sometimes I would slack off, and as soon as I slacked off, he was there behind me saying, no, I can see it. No, come on, keep 100%. Don't be slacking off. Do some extras and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was definitely a mentor to me.
Yeah, great stuff. And he was, you know, he was a great manager at a good time for York City. I mean, they were really sinking when he came in. And to be honest, without him, I think a lot of York City fans wonder where the club would have ended up. We said we'd sort of maybe finish towards the end of the interview by discussing your sort of all-time York City 11, which I know you've deliberated over the past week. I gave you a bit of notice. So can you reveal to us what your team would be, whether you'd be in it, what your formation would be?
Yeah, I was thinking, should I put myself in? I've asked, but there's no point, really. You know, I'm the one that's doing it all, so there's no really point put myself in it. So I can, and then obviously I can put more players in the team. So I've gone with Jameson, number one, for most of winning season. He was amazing for us. He was definitely one of our best players. You know, when you do win promotion, you need that keeper to try and keep you in the game and great saves, which he definitely did, so it was an easy decision putting him in. Right back, I've gone for Ducky Duckworth. Technically, he was one of the best players at the club, and probably still is. Technically gifted, a little bit lazy at times. He needed a kick up the backside at times. So, but you can tell he had ability, and it's shown sometimes in the game. And you know, 1v1 defending was one of the best, really, at the club. So he was great for us when he was fit. I don't know if he's back playing now, isn't he? He's just gone back.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy to see him back playing. So I've gone for a 4-5-1 formation. So my centre half, Mats, I think Mats, yeah, big strong centre half, big strong centre half. So much ability, great potential. I think he's doing well for York this year as well. Definitely one. I'm a career that I'm definitely gonna keep an eye on. He definitely can play higher. So say he was a rock for us in that promotion winning season as well. So that's why I've gone for Mats. Right centre half, left centre half, I've gone for David McGurk. McGurk, again, big strong rock at the back. Popped up with a few goals now and again as well. A solid, solid player. Yeah, I think he had a good York City player career as well, didn't he? Brilliant defence centre half. You know, still keep in touch with him as well. So, yeah, no, that's right. them two in the middle. Left back, I've gone for Scotty Barrow. Again, technically gifted, one of the best technically gifted players at the club as well. And can pinpoint across onto Sixpence. He was, the delivery was, yeah, dead to see. And he's up and down that line, one of the greatest players at the club. It's a shame that he got injured and he's missing out on the season, really. I'm not sure how long he's got left of his injury, of his rehab. But the sooner he's back, the better. It will be for York. He's a big miss for York this year. And then I've gone for Martin Wolford on the, put him on the right-hand side, cutting in. You know, Martin Wolford, again, when I played with him the first time on at York City, great ability, big talent. Goes past players with ease and used to make my life a lot easier because it used to be me. Before he came, it used to be me. I had to do all the doggy work and try and create and then score. But then when Martin Wolford came in, he kind of took that off me, really. And he was I was able just to get in the box and wait for the ball to come in. So that's, he's on the right. And I've gone for Akil Wright. You know, when I came to the club, didn't know anything about him, to be honest. And then after training with him and playing with him, he was one of the best midfielders I've played with, to be honest. He was an absolute machine. Absolute machine. I remember when I was talking to Steve Watson about bringing me down to York City and mentioned a player called Akil Wright. And he was like, do you know him? I was like, no, I don't know anything. He's like, when you come in, you're in the sea. He's like, Vieira, he's up and down, box to box. And I was thinking, Vieira, what's your box to box? Who's this cat? And then actually, when I signed and started training and playing with him, I was like, wow. I'm impressed here. Jesus, he was just a machine, and no player could actually match him. Yeah, is that stock count now, isn't he, in the league?
Yeah, doing really well.
Really well. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all. So great for us last year. Then I've gone for Paddy. It's between Paddy and Emmanuel Panther. Well, I think Paddy just nicks it because of the promotion winning season. Yeah, I think Paddy nicks it because he's another player. Technically gifted, straw pass players, got a wonderful left foot, like energy, experience. Yeah, great player to play with. So he had to be in there. And then I've gone for Neil Bishop in midfield as well, the three.
Phil, you have to put him, he might drop you at the weekend.
No, I had to put Neil Bishop in, he's my manager. So if he sees this and I don't put him in, he'd be like, you're not playing next game for me. So I've had to put him in, but no. Now, like I say, great player, great technician as well, great on the ball, experience. He showed great experience then, and like I say, he went on to play in the league, do great things. So, yeah, Neil Bishop's definitely in there for me, and that's not just because he's my manager. It might be, but and then I've gone for Mark Convey on the left. Mark Convey, yeah. If there's a player that's assisted me so many goals, it's definitely him. And the ball's over the top. It was like we had this connection. It's hard to explain, but me and him had this connection where as soon as he had the ball, he knew where I was going to go, and he'd pinpoint the ball right to into my path and give me that opportunity to score. I remember I've got a DVD of the 06 season, 06 07 season, and the amount of goals he provided for me, it was frightening. Like I say, we had this connection, and I don't think I've ever had a connection like that in my whole career, really. So definitely Matt Convey's in there for that as well. And I've gone one up top with Andy Bishop. I think, yeah, Andy Bishop, me and Andy Bishop, our strike force partnership was frightening, to be honest. You know, his finishing ability as well was second to none. And obviously, you know, I was a goal scorer, he was a goal scorer. So both of us up there, we just caused so much havoc. And I still keep in touch with Bishop, actually. So no, I think I was a no-brainer, to be honest. I was going to put myself alongside him, what strike force that would be. But no, I thought to get those extra players in, I just left myself out. I'll manage the team. I'm at my age now. I'll be the player coach, so I'm just managing the team.
What was incredible about your and yours and Andy Bishop's partnership was that we never even got in the playoffs that year. You two got so many goals, and yet we just missed out. It was incredible, really, looking back, how that actually happened.
Yeah, I remember, like I said, watching the DVD not so long ago, thinking the amount of goals we scored, and how the hell have we not won promotion here automatic? I just didn't get it at all. Because, yeah, like I said, we scored so many goals together, and partnership was frightening. I just said maybe we conceded more goals than we scored. I'm not too sure. Yeah, you know, they score, we score, so you can guarantee one of us was going to score. we both won people quite a few bets to bet us one of us to score in each game. It's always going to happen. Well, it was happening more times than not. So, but yeah, to not win promotion with that strike force and the goals we got, we brought at that time was, yeah, it was fine, to be honest. And one, I can't get my head around why we didn't get promotion that season.
Well, I think we would have got promotion with that team that you've just mentioned there. It was a really strong lineup, Clayton, and you know, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure that would have there'll be a lot of people who you've missed off that will probably think they should have been in, but equally, you know, it's such a strong side, isn't it? So thanks for that. And just finally, what does the future hold? So I know you said, you know, the body's still going strong, you want to keep playing as much as you can. I know you did a little bit of commentary for us on Hospital Radio, which was really nice to sort of see, help you do that. And is that something you're looking into, the media, coaching? Where do you see the future? I presume just somewhere in football is your kind of your priority, really.
Yeah, it's football's number one still at the moment. I'm doing my A license, should have that by the summer. So I do want to get into coaching as well. And obviously at Gainsborough, I'm able to do that as well. Get some coaching hours in and stuff there and help the youngsters there. We've got a young squad, so I definitely want to get into coaching, and Bishop's helping me massively with that as well. While I'm still playing, like I said, I definitely want to get into media as well, co-commentary and stuff like that, commentary, media work, stuff like that I'm trying to sway into. Because the football side of it is still taking off and taking most of my time, it's hard to try and juggle the two. So I think, you know, because we're up there in the league, I think my main focus is we've got opportunities to try and get promoted here. So let's try and finish season strong, but at the same time, think about the other stuff that I want to do in the future. And like I said, you know, I came to York at that time and did the bit of co-commentary with you guys there, which I loved it. So definitely going to try and book another date in for that 100%. So that's the kind of path I'm trying to go. But it's obviously something football related, because football is who I am, really. So there's no point. It'd be stupid for me to move away from that.
Well, you'd be certainly welcome on Hospital Radio anytime, Clayton. And thanks for giving it your time to do this podcast. It's been great to do the second part. I was quite restricted with the first part because you were sort of belonging to another club and quite a few questions I couldn't ask, but that was great to kind of get your insight and, you know, knowledge from last season, which was in the end an incredibly successful season for York City, but such a roller coaster ride, I think, for us as supporters. And, you know, the first season in a new stadium and to get promotion in it, I think all supporters will never forget that. And I think for you contributing to that, you know, we thank you as supporters, and best of luck with everything in the future. And hopefully we'll see you down at the new stadium again. I keep calling it a new stadium. It's not new anymore, is it? But down at the stadium sometime soon. And, you know, it'd be great to kind of see you with familiar faces.
Yeah, no, would be great. And like I say, I appreciate the time and the effort that you put in and getting me on this show. Like I say, I've always been a fan of your show, so to be able to do a part two without any restrictions, like I say, I think it's been in the pipeline for a while now, hasn't it? So say if I can get myself down again to the stadium, I know you call it the new stadium, because first time I was at Bolton Crescent, so it is technically a new stadium for me. And so, yeah, I can understand why you're saying that. So, no, hopefully I'll be down at the York City Stadium again sometime soon in the near future.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Big thank you there to Clayton Donaldson for giving up his time. Obviously, giving up his time again. This was the second part of time we'd had him on the podcast, so really appreciate that. And we really appreciate him at Hospital Radio for coming on and being a summariser for us earlier on in the season. I think it was one of the first times he'd kind of done that, but since then he's done some summarising for Birmingham City as well. So perhaps Hospital Radio's paved the way for a future career in media for him, or to be fair, more realistically. So we've made a small contribution, but we'll take that. Big thank you as well to you guys listening and for all your comments and kind of retweets and sharing it and liking it and all that sort of stuff, giving us reviews and rating it on Spotify. All that sort of stuff really, really counts, and all that stuff is really appreciated by me, and you know, we're grateful as a charity that people keep supporting it with their donations. So if you want to do that and leave a donation, it's justgiving.com/YorkHospitalRadio. All donations are really greatly received. Next week will be the final episode of the series. That is going to be with Sean Newton, who I kind of ummed and ahed a little bit about getting him on, more for Sean's sake rather than ours, really. But, you know, we know that he has a little bit of a divided
opinion amongst supporters, but I felt like the timing was right. You know, he's been left York City over a year now, and, you know, I certainly didn't hold back asking him any questions that I think people would want me to ask him. And, you know, Sean doesn't hold back with his responses. So I think from that sort of score, it makes for quite a good interview, and hopefully people will listen without prejudice, and maybe it'll change some opinions, maybe it won't. But you know, it's all about celebrating people who've played for York City, and you know, Sean played for York City for a long, long time and won Clubman of the Year three times. So, you know, I hope people will listen to that, and same as they would other episodes, and see what they think. But yeah, you know, really appreciate all the support for this current series. It's been great to come back, and, you know, I know there was a bit of a break between them, but really pleased that we got some more episodes for people, and people are really still enjoying it. So yeah, next week will be the last one, and we'll see where we go after that.